You're listening to a message from Victory Dumaguete.
Good evening, 7 p.m. service. Can you give a round of applause to our music team for that special number? We're down to the second installment of our cross-check series. We started this series last week. Okay, this series is all about reminding us what it means to be a follower of Jesus. Because oftentimes, okay, when we talk about being a Christian, a believer of Christ, sometimes as followers of Christ, we tend to forget what is expected of us. Sometimes we're always thinking, Lord, my prayer request, my ganahan nato. We're always coming to God, asking Him to fix things, to solve things, to give us things. We're always asking something from God. But what about on our end, man? As followers of Jesus, there is also some things expected of us. And that's what this series is all about, to remind us what it means to follow Jesus, to be in His Lordship. In the first week, we talked about self-denial. Okay, that as believers, as followers of Christ, when we live our life, it's no longer we just do whatever we feel like doing. It's no longer we just go about doing whatever we feel like doing. Okay, say hilig na to, or say feel na to karon, and we wanna do that. No, it's no longer just that na. In Mark 8, verse 34, we get reminded that if anyone would come after me, after Jesus, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. We are to deny ourselves, to take up our cross. In other words, we are to suffer for Christ's sake. Part of following Jesus is follow Him even if we don't feel like doing it. Even if following Jesus means suffering or persevering something, we are taught to endure, to persevere for Christ's sake. That's what we learned in the first week. Today naman, for the second week, we're going to talk about the hard truth. Hard truth. Now, when we talk about truth or talk about the Word of God or what God has to say, His will. Now, when it comes to the Word of God, sometimes we treat it like a buffet. Anyone here, you love eating in a buffet? Diba? Kung matong ang buffet, you don't necessarily eat every food sa buffet. Or maybe some of you do. Diba? Mamili ka sa ganahan mo. You eat the ones that you really like. You skip some na feeling mo makaunan mo anywhere. Mag-select ka sa buffet. Now, sometimes that attitude, we bring that when we read the Word of God or when we hear the Word of God or when we want to listen to what God has to say to us. Sometimes we tend to be selective. Parang, Lord, I wanna read this passage, this verse, pero Lord, just skip this part lang. Sometimes medyo selective ta when it comes to the Word of God, when it comes to the truth. But there's the thing, as followers of Jesus, we can approach the Word of God and thinking na, I'll just read 60% of this, I'll just accept part of this and reject the rest. No, we need to embrace the entirety of the truth, the entirety of God's Word. Are we willing to follow Jesus even when His Word seems offensive? When God's Word cuts to the heart, when it convicts us, when it hurts us because we've done something wrong, and it hits us in our conscience, will we still follow Jesus or will we give up? That's what we're going to look into today as we talk about the hard truth. We're going to look into a story of a group of people in John chapter 6 who wanted to follow Jesus. They started following Jesus, but when they had an encounter with the hard truth, they quit. They didn't want to follow Him anymore. So if you have your Bibles with you, can you read them to John chapter 6? Verses 60, 66, and 69. Now, this story is kind of long. I mean, not these verses, but if you want to get the best context of this story, I'll encourage you to read the entirety of John chapter 6. You'll have a better context of what we're going through because I can't show every verse naman. For the sake of discernment tonight, I'm going to highlight on these verses. Verse 60, 66 to 69 later on. John chapter 6, verse 60, if you're there. It says here, when many of disciples heard it, they said, this is a hard saying. Who can listen to it? Verse 66, after many of His disciples turned back and no longer walked with Him. So Jesus said to the 12, do you want to go away as well? Simon Peter answered Him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we have believed and have come to know that You are the Holy One of God. The passage we just read a while ago comes right after two important miracles or signs that Jesus did in John chapter 6. That is, firstly, when He fed the 5,000 and when He walked on water. Okay, how many of you are familiar with that story when Jesus fed the 5,000 people? It's actually over 5,000 kasi ang gibutang nito, 5,000 ang men pa lang. It's actually more than that. So the story goes that in John chapter 6, Jesus was teaching to a crowd and it came to a point na it's starting to get dark na and people were hungry. Because they have been with them, listening throughout the day, in the heat of the sun, in the field. Those of you who've been through ROTC, you know sa kakapoy, being under the heat of the sun. And these people were doing so. Because back then, they didn't have all these many buildings. I mean, they had synagogues and all, but this was in the fields. And Jesus asked His disciples or His apostles, where can we get food? And there was no food yet, apart from 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. So tuna sandwich lang ang naan nila. And Jesus, you know, took the bread and the fish, and he did a miracle. He multiplied it to the point that he was able to feed over 5,000 people. In fact, they had leftovers pa from 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, able to feed multitudes of people. And that was an amazing miracle right there. But not just that. After that, he went away. And while he was going to a certain place, his disciples also saw him walking on water. He was walking on water, okay? And they were shocked and amazed at what Jesus did for them. These are important signs or miracles that Jesus did. But strangely, in verse 66, amidst all of those amazing miracles, you would probably think na everyone would for sure subscribe or follow Jesus na. But unfortunately, in verse 66 of John chapter 6, it says here, after this, many of his disciples, many of the crowds, turned back and no longer walked with him. And that begs the question, why? Why is it that people who saw firsthand what Jesus did, and not just that, they ate firsthand of the miracle, okay? They got to sample the tuna sandwich and multiply ni Jesus. Some of them got to see Jesus walk on water. Why is it that amidst all of that, they still chose to walk away? They chose to give up on their faith, or they chose not to follow Jesus. Why is it that this is happening? Now, to examine or to understand verse 66, we need to understand what led to it. What happened before verse 66, coming from the feeding of the 5,000, that caused the people to give up. And they didn't embrace the hard truth. And that's what we're going to look into today. And 2 simple points lang for today. Firstly, Jesus was not the Messiah they expected. One reason why they couldn't follow Jesus, or they chose to give up now from following Jesus, is that he was not whom they expected. They failed to understand. In John 16, verse 1 to 14, again, it talks about the feeding of the 5,000. And then, that's an amazing miracle. In fact, in verse 14, after they witnessed Jesus perform the miracle, it says here, when the people saw the sign that he had done, they said, "This is indeed the prophet who is to come into the world." The Greek word prophet here also means the Messiah, or the promised one, or the Savior. So meaning, for these people, they're thinking, man, maybe this is the Messiah na. Because for them, sa Old Testament pa lang, it has been prophesied many times that a Messiah would come. Deuteronomy chapter 13, verse 15, in fact, tells, is one sample of a prophecy. "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you. From your brothers, it is to him you shall listen." So for hundreds of years, the Jewish people have been waiting for this Messiah, for this Savior. But unfortunately, mali ang thinking nila kung unsa ang Messiah. They had this certain mindset of what the Messiah would do, would do for them, or what he would achieve. And in verse 15, says here, "Perceiving them that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, Jesus withdrew again to the mountain by himself." What was the people's reaction when they thought na, Jesus is probably the Messiah? Their reaction was, "Let's make him our king." Now, why is that? Now, again, the Jewish people were oppressed at this time. They were under the Roman authorities. And for them, a Messiah or the prophet is this figure who would come and liberate them from their oppressors. Literally from their earthly oppressors, from the Roman people. That was their thinking. So they wanted to take this Jesus who was able to give the best tuna sandwich in the world and make him their king. They wanted to do so. But Jesus, he knew that his mission in our world, when he came to this world, was not to liberate the Jews from the Roman empires. He came to liberate them from something far more sinister. An oppression that is far more severe than the Roman empire, which we're going to talk on later on. But the point is, Jesus was not the Messiah that they thought of. He was not their earthly liberator from their oppressors. Okay, he was something else. Now, continuing with the story, in verse 24, after Jesus left and some of the disciples followed him as well, when the crowd saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they themselves got into the boats and went to Capernaum seeking Jesus. So again, we have this group of people, this crowd, dude, who seem to be seeking Jesus. Okay, they want to follow Jesus. And we can relate to that. A lot of us are here because we want to follow Jesus. But interestingly, when they met Jesus again in verse 26, it says here, "Jesus answered them, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me not because you saw signs.'" Signs pertaining to the miracles. It's called signs because they point to him as the prophet or as the Messiah. Parang siyang road sign that tell you which way is a certain street or a certain landmark. And Jesus talked to them, You know what? You guys, you're not looking for me because you believe that I'm the Messiah or you saw the signs. But because you ate your fill of the loaves. Basically, they wanted to seek Jesus because, you know, nabusog sila sa bread. It was as simple as that. Parang, you fed us. You're able to do this amazing thing. They wanted to get something from Jesus. In other words, they were seeking Jesus for the wrong reasons. And that's a pretty important statement right there. Because, yes, we all want to seek Jesus. And it's good to seek Jesus. But here's the thing. Are we seeking Jesus for the right reasons, church? Do we want to follow Him for the right reasons? This crowd, they were seeking Jesus. They wanted to find where Jesus was. But what they failed to understand was that they were seeking Him for the wrong reasons. They weren't seeking Him because this is the Messiah. This is our Savior. This is the one who's going to give us salvation, all that. No, they were seeking Jesus because this guy fed us the best sandwich in the world. This guy, you know, he's able to multiply bread. Can you imagine if we give him 100 pieces of bread? Pilang mamultiply niya. Not a lifetime supply of sandwich. Okay? They wanted to follow Jesus, or they were seeking Jesus for different things. The perks, the benefits. But for them, Jesus is like an ATM. Puta kan Jesus ta. Okay, but we can get something from Him. And again, church, are we seeking Jesus for the right reasons? Or are we just coming to Him because there are some things we need? We want to get something from Him. As believers or followers of Jesus, we don't just follow, or we don't just want to follow or seek Him because we get to have something. These people were fixated only on the benefits of His presence. Benefits lang. Their following of Christ was fueled with enthusiasm. In other words, good vibes. Okay? They were willing to follow Jesus. They were willing to seek Jesus as long as they got the benefits. They were happy. They were okay. Good vibes. Okay sila. But here's the thing. If our motivation for following Jesus is only the perks, the good things that happen to us, we get something in return from Jesus. If that's our motivation, guess what? It will be difficult for us to follow Him when bad times happen. When storms happen in your life, when you get an encounter with challenges, let's say you failed the subject, you have problems at work, you get sick, you have relational problems. If these things happen to you, would you still be willing to follow Jesus? Or would you grumble as you walk and say, Lord, nangitabo na ako. I just came from Victory Weekend. Dapat everything is okay now. Why is it that I'm experiencing these things? If our motivation for following Jesus is just the perks, the benefits, things we can get from Him, we will not last long in our walk with Jesus. We will not last long in our walk with God. This is a case of following Jesus only for what He can offer. And these people forgot that what about that which is required of us as His followers? For these people, Jesus is more like an ATM. We need to follow Him because He gives us good bread. But here's the thing. He came not only to satisfy the already existing appetites, but to change their appetites. See, Jesus, He came to give them a better appetite. Not for the earthly kind of appetite, but to crave for the things that are eternal. Things that are spiritual. In John 6 verse 27, after Jesus told them or rebuked them, you know what? They're not following me because you truly believe I'm the Messiah. Jesus told them, do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. He tells them, don't pursue food that perishes, but pursue the food that endures to eternal life. In other words, Jesus was elevating their desire for something temporary, and He offered something eternal. Because the people were seeking Him in terms of material things, mga makuha nila. And Jesus was aligning them, pointing them, hey, you're seeking after these things. No, look at this. I'm going to offer you something of eternal worth. Don't pursue the food that perishes, but the food that endures to eternal life. The Greek word for life here is the word zoe. And it means the quality of life or spiritual life. Jesus is offering spiritual life. Okay, not biological or physical life, but spiritual life. And this leads to the second point why these people, the crowd, couldn't follow Jesus. Second thing I want us to understand with this story is that Jesus claimed to be the bread of life. Now, we might have heard of this statement for many times if you've been attending church for a long time. Just to be refreshed of the impact of this statement. Going on with the story, after Jesus told them, pursue the food that endures eternal life, says here, then they said to Him, what must we do to be doing the works of God? Jesus answered them, this is the work of God, that you believe in Him whom He has sent. Jesus said, if you want the food that produces eternal life, you have to believe. That's the important thing. You have to believe. Verse 30, so they said to Him, then what sign do you do that we may see and believe you? All right, Jesus, we want to believe you and this food we're talking about that brings eternal life.
Okay, give us a sign that we're gonna believe you. Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Now, this is a quote from the story in Exodus when the Israelites were traveling from Egypt to the promised land led by Moses as they left their slavery times, okay? Moses gave them bread to eat, which was called manna. But Jesus told them, in verse 32, Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you their bread from heaven. Moses was just the instrument. But my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from the heaven and gives life to the world." And verse 34, they said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Now, here's the thing. Nasa earthly, temporary, material mindset pagyapon sila. They asked Jesus, "Give us a sign that we could believe you, so that we could believe this food that produces eternal life." And they told Jesus, "You know what? Our ancestors ate this kind of bread." Okay, they're still talking about bread. And Jesus told them, "You know what? It is my Father, God the Father, who actually gave you that bread. And the bread that comes from heaven will give life to the world." So they're still thinking in terms of physical, actual bread. So that's why he said, "Sir, give us this bread always." And Jesus said to them something that must have really shocked them. He says, sir, in verse 35, Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life." Imagine, you were the crowd. You were asking Jesus, "Give us this bread." And Jesus said to them, "It's me. I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst." And the crowd was like, "What are you talking about? What are you talking about, Jesus?" You would see in the resentment, I'm going to skip a few parts, okay? In verse 41, it says here, the Jews grumbled about him because he said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." They actually couldn't believe him. Parang, what are you talking about, Jesus? Well, here's the thing, that statement, "I am the bread of life," is a very shocking statement for them. Firstly, if you go back to Exodus, in Exodus chapter 3, verse 14, the term "I am" was used by God to reveal himself to Moses and to his people. It says here in verse 14, "I am who I am," and he said, "Say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you." So when Jesus said, "I am the bread of life," it's no accident that he's using those words. Basically, firstly, he's claiming that he is God. "I am the bread of life." The "I am" there pertains to God. So imagine if you were the Jewish people, okay, and all of a sudden, this Jesus guy, who seems to be this amazing teacher, amazing sandwich maker, and suddenly, he claims to be God. And that's why in some of the verses, I didn't get to put it here, they said, "Who is this guy who's telling us that he is the bread of life? He's telling us these things. Is he not Jesus? Do we not know his parents? Anak siyang Mary, his siblings?" The people were confused. They couldn't wrap their heads around it. Secondly, when he says, "I am the bread of life," it means he is existence itself. He is life itself. You see, bread was very important in the Jewish time. It's no accident that a metaphor you gamit to Jesus is the bread of life. Bread practically means life for them. It's important. It is their basic staple food. For us Pinoys, what's my pinaka-importanting food na to? Rice, di ba? Rice is life for Filipinos. For a Jewish person, bread was life. Okay, because other meals were expensive. Okay? The one sure way nga mabuhi ka was that you would have bread in your household. That is why they would pray, "Give us this day our daily bread." Daily bread meaning daily food that they need to keep them alive. That's how important bread was for them. Jesus says in verse 51, "I am the living bread that came down from heaven." That bread I was talking about a while ago, it's not so much that I'm going to give you the bread. I am the bread. If anyone eats this bread, he will live forever, and the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. Jesus came mainly not to give us bread, but to be our bread. He is the living bread. Now, this statement is really puzzling for them, for the Jewish people, because again, di pa nila mag-gets na he was talking metaphorically. But in the physical sense, Jesus is basically telling them, he who eats this bread will live forever. He's asking the people to eat the living bread. It says here, "Then the bread that I will give for the life of this world is my flesh." And the verses following this, it talks about, "He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood will never go hungry and will never go thirsty." Now, if you take it in the literal sense, that's a pretty shocking statement. Parang, ha? Kanon ka na mo? Ihaon ka na mo? Meaning, that's what you're talking about? Now, here's the thing. For the Jewish people, they had a law, okay, in Leviticus that forbade them to eat or drink blood. So for Jesus to say, "You eat my flesh and you drink my blood," that's a pretty shocking thing. What is this guy talking about that he wants us to eat the living bread, which he claims to be himself, and drink his blood? Now again, Jesus was not talking in literal sense that we are to eat him. But it's in a metaphorical sense that he is using the bread to symbolize what he's going to do. Again, he is the Messiah. But he wasn't the Messiah that they thought of. He's the Messiah that came to save the world from an oppression far worse than any earthly kingdom. And that is the oppression from our sins. In other words, Jesus came to save us, to redeem us from our sins. And the way he did that was through his life and his death on the cross. So when Jesus claimed that he was the living bread, firstly, that he was the bread that was going to be broken up so that we may have new life. Because right? If you're going to talk about bread, and if bread gives life to someone, how can that someone be nourished from the bread? You have to eat it, right? You eat food to be nourished, that you will continue to live, so that the bread, that the life-giving bread will give you life. In other words, that's why Jesus said, we are to eat the bread. Because when we eat bread, in a literal sense, when we eat bread, it gives us life. It makes us healthy and all that. What Jesus is saying is that he would give up his life. What Jesus is talking about when he's talking about the bread of life is that he came down to this world as the bread of life, and he was going to die on the cross for our sins. He gave up his flesh, his body, the living bread. His body was beaten up, was broken as you would break bread to eat it. He gave up his life so that we may have a new life. Remember every time we have communion, we have that verse now. When he partake of the bread, he broke up the bread, gave thanks and said, this is my body which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. It's the same thing here. Jesus is claiming that he is the living bread who came down from heaven, and he's going to give his life, his flesh, to die on the cross for our sins, that we may be saved. In other words, that's what it means to eat his flesh and drink his blood. To believe in him as the promised Messiah, the living bread, and not just that, to believe in his suffering, in his death, and resurrection coming from the cross. That's what it means to eat his flesh and drink his blood, to believe. Remember to the crowd, this is the work of God, that you should believe in the one who is sent. That we should believe in Jesus. As king, he came not to subdue their enemies, but to satisfy their soul, the biggest need of their soul, their salvation. Again, they grumbled when they heard this because they couldn't get it. Firstly, at the literal level, because they talked about eating someone's flesh and all that. And they couldn't understand that Jesus was speaking metaphorically. But not just that. Even if they understood that this involves the death of the Messiah, they couldn't accept na the Messiah is going to die. He's going to die on the cross. Abi na ko Messiah mo liberate sa tuwa. They couldn't accept that. That is why in verse 6, he says here, when the disciples heard it, they said, this is a hard saying. They couldn't bear to embrace this truth about Jesus being the living bread. In verse 66, says here, after this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with him. They couldn't comprehend the fact that the provider is the provision, that the life-giving bread is not just any ordinary bread, but that it is Jesus. He didn't walk away because it was scandalous, but they walked away because they couldn't get what they want. Remember, they sought Jesus because they wanted something from him. But Jesus told them, this is what I came here to do. And you seek this eternal life, which I will give to you through my life and my death on the cross for or over your sins. But they couldn't accept that. They couldn't follow Jesus for that, and they walked away. Continuing with their story in John 6, verse 67. So Jesus said to the 12, then he approached the 12 apostles, the man, do you want to go away as well? And verse 68 says here, Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God. I kind of like Peter's answer here because it gives us their motivations, their reason for following Jesus. If all the other people wanted to follow Jesus because we can get something from Jesus, who knows what else kaya niyang i-multiply? Kung baka sisi, kaya niyang multiply ni Jesus or lechon. They wanted something from Jesus. They were seeking Jesus for the wrong reasons. But Peter practically told Jesus why they wanted to follow him. Says here, whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. They understood. Maybe not fully yet, but Jesus had eternal life. He is eternal life. It's in him that we get eternal life. Verse 69, and we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God. We've come to know that you are the Messiah. You are the Savior. You are that prophet. You are that guy, Jesus. We've come to know that that is you. And we want to follow you because of that. I want to throw in this question for us as I end. Why do we follow Jesus? Why do we follow Jesus Church? Is it because we get something from Jesus? Or is it because we know who He is? Our Savior, our Lord and Master, who died on our cross for our sins, who gave us eternal life through union with Him. Remember, the Bible says, it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. That's why eat the bread again. Do we follow Jesus for those reasons, or do we simply follow Jesus because we view Him as some cosmic genie, a magical ATM, or someone who just fixed everything as a problem? Do we follow Jesus for the right reasons? Here's the thing. If we want to follow Jesus, if we're willing to embrace the entirety of truth found in God's Word and what He has to say to us, we cannot follow Jesus, you know, at arm's length. But we ought to follow Jesus as intimately and as close as possible. Because again, it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. We're called to follow Jesus as closely as possible. That can only happen if we embrace all facets of the truth. The hard truth, the hard teachings, the things that hit us when we read the Bible, we need to embrace all of that. We cannot be selective in our walk with God, in our walk with Jesus. Because if we are selective, then we won't be able to follow Jesus rightly. Why do we follow Jesus, Church? Let that question sink in. Only you can answer that. And I hope and I pray that when the thought comes in our minds, we would come to realize the right reasons for following Jesus.
You just heard a message from Victory Dumaguete. For more messages like these, or to access other resources, please visit victorydumaguete.org or like our page on Facebook.